Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaveryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavahitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so then we are on the chapter 6. We finished the whole? The last one, right? We were doing now? We didn't do the last one. Yeah. Okay. So one should be very intolerant towards the blasphemy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, or his devotees. So, as one should be very tolerant towards anything towards himself, but on the other side, one should be very intolerant if somebody is harming or blaspheming other devotees or the Lord. So that's because of the relationship. We want to develop relationship with the Lord. But how can we do it if we wouldn't take into consideration that the devotees are very dear to Krishna? So therefore we have to be very, very intolerant to blasphemy of the devotees or the Lord. You know something? Yes.
But does this mean if somebody is criticizing or giving unnecessary trouble to a devotee in any way, or does it just apply to if they're giving trouble to a devotee in his devotional service?
Well, criticizing or no, this, what is this? That's nothing to do with devotional service. Right? So why would you be around?
What?
Why would you be around? So if you see somebody criticizing and you have the power or the influence to correct him, then do it. If you don't have it, if he's some senior devotee or something, you don't understand what's going on, just leave. If you have feeling that somebody is criticizing somebody and then you don't know what's happening, you don't know why, you don't know what, but you want to stay, because just you want to know, that's a very bad sign. So when you see that something is not right, but you may not know why, it's between them, two devotees are arguing, and then you just want to be, there because you want to be the first one to know, so let everybody know. That will take you away from devotional service. If he's your friend, then you can help him do it. But you have to know how to. Punching the other one won't help. So you have to see, you have to know how to do it. And therefore, knowing Shastra, following Guru and Sadhu, that's important. When Arjuna was supposed to decide if to kill Ashwatthama or not, it was a great dilemma. Because Bhima wanted him killed. Draupadi didn't. What is he going to do? If he kills him, then she will be not pleased. And if he lets him go, then Bhima will not be pleased. So what is he going to do? Right. But you have to know how. If you know how, then you find the solution, and then you don't try to finesse the problem. You don't try to do something politically correct. You solve the problem. Because every problem has a solution. Shastra shows you how to solve every problem. If you don't know the Shastra, then Guru helps you, or Sadhu. But you can find solution to every problem. If you cannot, it's because your limited intelligence, and then you should seek shelter of somebody who knows. Not thinking that there is no solution. That's laziness. Look at today's economical problems in the world, right? Not trying, various ways how to solve it without sacrificing their sense gratification. But it's getting into a deeper and deeper crisis. There is no solution without controlling the body, mind and words. But it may take little time before they understand it. Those who do, then they are doing some steps for themselves. But we know that already before. So we have to first follow our own philosophy, then we will be able to preach our own philosophy. And with the philosophy, then we can preach and show people how, by following the Vedic culture, one can advance. So that's why Prabhupada wanted cultural revolution. Because the culture touches everybody. It's the whole society. Everybody is affected by the culture. Now, if the culture works properly, then everybody has his own place, and then by that everybody is satisfied. But if people do what they're not supposed to do, then anything can come up, but it's not going to be right. So it's going to be temporary. Only the Sanatana Dharma is a permanent solution. Nothing else. Yeah? Yes.
So can I draw the principle that if someone is blaspheming, right?
Mm-hmm.
God, Krishna, or one devotee.
Yes.
And if I have the influence to change that, and if I don't, I believe, is that being proper?
Yes. Because if you, you are the authority, then you can blast at him. That's your duty, in fact. You have to tell him that he is wrong. Or if he is under your protection, then you have to blast at the other one if the other one was wrong. That's your interaction. This is your relationship. A person takes shelter of you because he expects that you give shelter. So if he does something wrong, then you may have to be happy with him. But if he does something, and if somebody does wrong something to him, then you have to show that he can depend on you. So you have to provide this shelter. Because this is the relationship. But if it's somebody you don't know, then, as you were saying before, if it's like danger, like somebody is drowning somewhere in the river, so you are not going to ask him would you like me to save you, or maybe you don't like me, but you won't do that, right? Yes, yeah, so then you just not jump in, not take him out, do the necessary things just to keep him alive. To take person from the river, it's sometimes very dangerous, because when they already drunk some water, they fight. So they may even drown the person who is trying to save them. So sometimes you have to give him big slap. You have to do that. So you cannot be sentimental. Then you get him out. So you have to use your intelligence. How to do it. Then you do it, okay, and now, no. Now he's safe. But don't think, oh, if I give him some slap, then he will think badly about me. And no, that's sentiment. So if you have the power, take him out. But if you don't know how to swim, then it's unlikely that you will be able to. So you don't have the power. So, okay, maybe you have your phone with you. So then try to call somebody. Or, no, just shout. There will be some people around, probably. In India, yes. In the West, who knows. Or get some stick. No, whatever you can, then try to save him otherwise. But do your maximum. Because if you do your maximum, and even if he dies, still, then you don't have the bad feeling that you didn't do everything what you could. But if you did, then no, still, well, what could I have done? Maybe my fault was that I didn't learn how to swim. That was my fault, but if you just don't do anything, just, oh, okay, I don't know how to swim, let him die. Who cares? Then you may not be able to be very peaceful with that. So you have to see, judge the situation exactly at the point where you are. So according to the time, place, and circumstance. Apply the principles. What needs to be done? The person, okay, I hate him. No, he is my enemy. But he is drowning now. I have to take him out. So sentiments on the side, first you save him. Then after that, you can continue hate him again. But, save him. So that way, then, it's in your power. But if somebody is just, not doing something, like you see some kids maybe not playing, doing some nonsense, right? So you may tell them, well, don't do this, it's not good. It's not danger, but maybe some, plucking some flowers. So you tell them it's not good. But nowadays, when everybody has everything to say, so if you do that, you may actually not get appreciated even by their own parents, and they will criticize you, and they will just do anything just because you taught something to their kid that he shouldn't do. So if you don't have the influence, so then just whatever. Tell somebody who has the influence. Tell the authorities, to tell the parents, to tell the kids. That may be just the only solution you could do. But if the kid is your friend's kid, then you don't want him to do any nonsense. So then that's your influence. You can do that. And you can even take him straight to his father and just tell him, look, your kid was doing such a nonsense. So relationships, you have to not be able to, based on the relationship, then you develop the influence. So on that influence, and you can deal with the situation at a time. And the power, it's if it's in your power to do it, then do it. But if you have neither, then what can you do? And just if you see that it's a bad situation, then just leave. Like you may see two people fighting there, and there may be a crowd of many people just looking and watching. What's the point, right? So you cannot do anything with it. Then just leave. You know, to enjoy how each and every how they fight together.
In the situation that somebody has taken shelter of us, that they are, we're taking care of them, and somebody is criticizing them, or blasting them unduly, and that person who is criticizing has more authority than us, then how do we act?
Well, you have to explain first to the person that what it is, and then find out why is it being criticized. Because many times it's not just for nothing. So the most probably also the person who is taking shelter of you, then he also did something wrong. So what it is? And when you find out what it is, then since he's a junior one, so maybe he can even apologize to the other one for what he did. Just for that part what he did. That he was dealt with improperly, then he doesn't have to apologize for that. It's not his business. But at least do that. Then his part is clear. And then now it's up to the other person what he does. Because if he accepts the apology, then everything should be all right. But if he doesn't, then there is likely that now it will be his problem. Not anymore the person who is taking care of you. I mean, you take care of him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, it's many times we think that it's just only the physical way that we protect, but it's not the case. No, we have to be able to explain also the person whom we protect how to behave, how to act, so then they are able to protect themselves. You see, Prabhupada Maharaj was the expert, right? He didn't have to do anything. He was automatically protected by the Lord because he was constantly remembering the Lord. So therefore, if you make the person who is depending on you Krishna conscious, that's the best protection you can give him. But if you are attached to him, then you want him to be basically for your pleasure or for be connected with you. So you will make it such a way that he depends on you. And that way, then you will not necessarily want that he will be independent. See, that you can see like in the relationship mother and son. Many times the mother, due to the attachment, she is unable to part with the son, so then doesn't want him to go somewhere alone or go to school somewhere far away or go with the friends or things like that, just because she wants to make sure that he is always dependent on her. This due to the attachment. But if the attachment actually is overpowered by the affection, the attachment is what we want actually for ourselves from the person. The relationship, what we want for us. But the affection is what we want for the other. So, the mother being very affectionate, so then she can somewhat sort of control the attachment. So even with no heavy heart, then she will still let him go. Because she knows it's good for him. But not good for me. But what can I do? It's his life. And because I love him, then I want the best for him. There was a nice, what is it? Panchatantra? I don't know, somewhere. Or anyway, one short story. There was a lady, she was carrying no, her kid. And then she came to the river, so she put the kid down, and then was taking water from the river. When she filled up the pot, she comes, and other lady, or she's already carrying her baby. And then she said, please give me my baby. No, this is my baby. No, I just put him here just to take water. No, that's my baby. No, that's my baby. So then, they didn't have any DNA tests and things like that, right? So then they didn't know who's the baby is, because very small also, doesn't necessarily have the features as the mother. So then they went to the king. And they asked, she said, this is my baby. And then I said, no, this is my baby. Whose it is? How to decide? So he said, okay, so we will do it like this. One lady, okay, you grab the legs and you grab the hands and you pull. And so who gets the baby, then that's the baby. It's his. So then they started to pull the baby. Now, one lady just let go. She could not do that. And the other one, oh, see, it's my. Then, no, it's my baby. And the king said, no, you're not the mother. She is the mother. Because the real mother cannot really bear the pain of the child, of her child. So then she let go. Just so then he doesn't suffer. The other one, she's not attached. No, she just wants something. There's no affection. So she could pull, and if he dies, he dies. So anyway, it wasn't mine. So that's how it goes. So when there is the affection, it's how can I help him? How can I help my child? But the attachment natural will be there. But which one is stronger? Yeah?
Yes, thank you. So this is a topic.
Okay.
There's some doubts. Sometimes you see a senior devotee talking to another senior about one point that you don't understand. And that creates some. There are many issues around.
Mm-hmm.
I will not touch any issues specifically, but it happens. The other day this was happening. One devotee was mentioning another senior devotee. Was criticizing his spiritual master for saying this. In that situation, I am a third part. I just kept to myself, I did not enter into the conversation to analyze the audience. Is that the safer position for us?
See, if you understand, as soon as you understand that some criticizing or something is going on which you don't know actually, you cannot relate to, you don't know what it is, leave. There's nothing for you to stay and listen. It won't do any good to you.
If you can't stand up and go immediately, if you just stay politely, you try to do anything.
See, if you have the influence, you can tell them, please, no, don't criticize, don't talk like this. This is not good. No matter what, but you are not criticizing a Vaishnava here, so please don't do that. And if they don't listen, then you should leave, no matter what. Because if you don't, then you are part of it, then you get affected. You do.
If we're with our friend and then somebody starts criticizing our friend, then to give him the support that he knows we're there, then we can stay, even though... Like,
if somebody criticizes your friend,
yeah.
So then, and your friend is there and you are also there,
yeah.
So then, do you know exactly why is it happening, what is what actually happened? So that the best will be just tell your friend, no, okay, let's go. It may be humble position because it may look like that he's running away. For the ego, it may be, but it's the safest position anyway. If he is your friend, take him away. Because in any case, by being him here, I mean, at that place, then he will create, the other person will criticize more. So there's more blasphemy. So if you take him away, then at least it's going to be less. And then you have time to find out what actually happened, and you may help your friend to deal with the situation. But if you, at the moment, it's emotional, no, so any emotions you put into it more, it's going to get worse. No, and when two of them are emotional, neither of them will listen to you if you try to, some on the, like, intellectual platform to preach to them. It won't help. So you have to, first of all, no, bring down the emotions. Then you can deal with the situation somehow. But first, no, just stop, let him stop arguing. The best is just take him away, you go away. Get away from the situation. Then figure out what happened. And then you can deal with it a different way, not at that moment. Because emotions are there, you put more emotions escalate. Will come up, and then no, fight will start. But no need to do that. Yeah? Okay. So, now, are the above instructions all important? So that we are talking about those 20. Now, all the instructions are important, but out of the 20, the first three, namely accepting the shelter of bona fide spiritual master, taking initiation from him, and serving him with respect and reverence, are the most important. Now, we discussed it before in the beginning. Why and no, what is the meaning? So, anything so far then to these 20 points, then what we discussed?
From these 20, these are the three most relevant.
Yes, because as we said, these three will make it able for you to understand the rest. If you don't have guru, if you don't have guidance, then all these instructions may not be understood. So if you don't understand these instructions, you will not be able to progress in your spiritual life. Now to understand them, you need guru. You need somebody who will guide you. So that's why accepting a guide. Now, to be able for the guru to properly teach you, then you have to establish proper relationship. That means that you have to become the humble servant. You have to take the junior position. And that you do by following the instructions and then render service. That way, then proper reciprocation now can be there. And the rest, by doing so, the rest can be understood. But if you don't take this position, then who is going to teach you what? Nobody can. You know everything. So, there is nobody who can explain to you anything.
It's the story you mentioned about the cup.
Yes, yes. So that's why these three are the most important. In fact, see the taking and following the instructions of spiritual master. But for the spiritual master to give you an instruction, you have to accept him. And to accept him, you have to also establish a relationship. That means you are junior, he is senior. And then how to do it? By you render service unto him. So that's what it is. Okay, so then the next important items are as follows. One should decorate the body with tilak, which is the sign of the Vaishnavas. Well, the body is like the temple, and then there are many chakras.
Chakras.
It's like the esoteric meaning. For us, the main thing is that the body is just a temple, and then we decorate the body with the tilak, with the holy name of the Lord. But yes, I'm sure you can find so many esoteric meanings of why we put certain chakra.
The coincidence of the exact positions, right? They go in the exact position.
Yes, they do. Yeah. They go. So it helps, but that's for our explanation, just so that we do it. So like initiation. No, the ritual part, it's just basically for us to understand that something happened. But the initiation is when your guru gives you the name and he gives you the instruction to chant the holy name. That's the initiation. But the yagya and all the rituals around, no, it's important, but mainly for us to understand that, yes, okay, now it happened. Otherwise, we may just take it cheaply. We may not even understand. No, so putting tilak, writing holy name on the chest. It's these are for us to understand that actually we are the body. This is Krishna's. It's a temple, and the soul who are actually we then lives inside. So then we are just using it. So decorate it nicely. We have to take care of it. Now that's why we put tilak, Gopi Chandan. Now some pradas, then they actually they burn, Shankar Chakra. So that's their tilak, how they put it. But so some Vaishnavas do that. But for us, that we daily put the tilak on. So it brings the remembrance of the Lord. So for that reason, then we don't do the other way. We just use Gopi Chandan. So and then when we put the tilak in the morning, so then we have to do Achma. Then the tilak while putting, then chanting the names of the Lord. So your mind is automatically being fixed now on the holy name. That's why it's also important that we properly sit, then we focus on chanting the tilak mantras. No, we should not do it while walking, and it should be properly. Then it's like a manasa puja. So at the end of putting tilak, then you are actually focused now you can do your daily duties. You can go chant japa, you can go for mangalarati. So it will be, your mind will be focused now on the Lord. In marking such tilak, sometimes one may write Hare Krishna on his body. Yeah, so that's, purpose is the same. One should accept flowers and garlands that have been offered to the deity and the spiritual master and then put them on one's body. So, Maha. So, the Maha Prasad, flowers. So then that's one flower you can put behind the ear. So, decoration like that with the Maha flowers, Maha cloth from the deities, then that's always very auspicious. One that you get directly in touch with the Lord's remnants. Other, when you see it, then it reminds you of the Lord. So we are trying to create the all the activities not throughout the day, so we can always remember or never forget the Lord.
Does the flower have a meaning here?
It's a single flower. What can you do with single flower? But if you put it behind the ear, it just stays. And it should purify your hearing also. So then, no. You can be eager more to hear Krishna Katha. Okay. One should learn to dance before the deity. No, Srila Prabhupada, he wanted every devotee not to dance. It's a simple dance, which is shown. So you don't have to do some ballet or no. There are some devotees who do. They do some nice Bharatanatyam or like that. But not everybody needs to learn this kind of dancing. But simple dancing, it's very nice.
Is it because to dance you have to dispose of your ego, you have to dance with other devotees?
Well, again, you are trying to please the Lord. Now, if you are going to be just, you can sit for bhajans, you can sit and, but when you are in kirtan, there is some movement, right? So, then what will you do? Just stand there, and then just watch? No. So, then, if somebody does, then generally you can immediately see that something is not right. No, it's, but you can just move a little bit. And it's not that everybody has to move the same way. No, everybody left, everybody right, everybody left. No, it's not necessary. But everybody may have his own little style. But it shouldn't be some like a break dance and all this. This is not. But sometimes you see like devotees, they move around. No. So it's especially when the kirtan is really great. So that's all right. But somebody who is then more into moving than putting like more energy into it. So they are generally in the center where everything happens. Then you see the devotees just on the side and maybe taking pleasure from the devotees having fun, or maybe from the darshan of the deities. So that's also fine. It's not a problem. Not that everybody has to do same thing. Then only it's right. No. So somebody is dancing more subtle, somebody does something more wild. It's in the kirtan, unless you are bumping into others, then it's all right.
I saw once Bhakti Tirtha Swami dancing. Devotees would really get static when he danced. And you take the stick and you go around with it, and devotees would really get
inspired. Yeah. Because some devotees, they have that ability to inspire even the visitors, and then they start the snake, and then everybody just keeps going and they're more excited. That's nice. So that way then everybody gets involved. Yes?
So what is the most important principle in this to dance for the deities? To remember the deities, because sometimes in the process of dancing, at least I have the tendency to lose the connection to the deities, because I have to be so conscious of the other people in the dance and everything. So what is the most important?
Well, you are trying. See, you are taking darshan of the Lord, right? So you are there. Now, you are. By your presence, then the Lord sees you. Now, you are trying to please Him. So if you know how to dance nicely, then do it for the Lord. No. Because then it will please Him. Once He is pleased, then naturally you will be pleased also. Now, when there is like a huge kirtan, that's what pleases the Lord more. There was, I don't know if you visit Ambika Kalna. There is, it's down Ganga. I don't know. You can go by train. And it's like an hour, 45 minutes ride by train. There is a deity of Suryadas Pandit and Gauridas Pandit. They were two brothers. So Gauridas Pandit, he was a great devotee of the Lord. And then once, well, how he got the deities was he invited Lord Nityananda, Lord Gauranga, Lord Nityananda to visit. So then they, and Gauranga actually, he was traveling on the Ganga, and it was just before he took sannyas. So then, he came there and he was guest in his house. So then a few days he was there. He was very nice, taking care of, Gauridas Pandit was taking care of the day, that means Nityananda and Gauranga. And, at that time, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he also wrote one Gita, Bhagavad Gita verses there. And then, after a few days, then it's time to go. So then they were going to leave, but Gauridas Pandit, no, please don't go, not yet. So, they stay another day, and then, but now we have to really go. Now we have, we have our mission, we have to fulfill. He said, no.
So I think on some occasion they even gave him a promise to not leave his house.
They did?
They were going to leave. They said, why you worry about your on your altar?
So they said, it will not work out like this. So then what we do, we will make, same statues. No, we will make deity. So from Nimwood, and they found, and then they just carve their own same size murti. So they put the murti on the altar and said, so then we are now living here. Now you can worship the murtis, and we have to go. And he said, no, don't go. Why? Let them go, and then you stay. He said, okay. So then they went on the altar, and then the deity is just, no, you don't go, no, let them go. So, and it happened a few times. So they say, okay, so you choose one Gauranga, one Nityananda, they will stay, and then we go. So then they say, okay. So then he choose, from each pair one, then they stay on the altar, and then left. And then, that's one very, far out story what happened. But the other part was afterwards when he was serving them, and he was getting old, and he served them always really, really nicely. But there was also his disciple, Hridayananda, I think his name was. Yeah, Hridayananda. And once Gauridas Pandit said, okay, I'm going for pilgrimage, and then I will be back in few days. But he didn't come for another week or two. And they always had a Gaur Purnima festival. But for the Gaur Purnima festival, they invite devotees. To invite them, you have to send invitation on time. Now, the time was, but Gauridas Pandit wasn't back. So then Hridaya Chaitanya said, I have to send the invitation myself. Because when he comes, it will be late. So he wrote the invitations, he sent it. Gauridas Pandit, he comes back, and now he figures out that he sent the invitation without him. So he gets really angry. So what are you doing? No, you are not following the instructions. I told you to wait, but no, it would be late. No, get out. So he sent him away from the temple. He didn't know what to do, where to go. So he just went to Ganga, and then he sat down there. There was some small cottage or like that. So he was sitting there. Then there was great merchant. He was just going on the Ganga with his ship, and he saw devotee and just chanting and very effulgent. So he stopped, and then he said, may I help you somehow? No, I would like to give you some donation. Please say whatever you want and then it will be yours. And he says, no, I don't need anything. But my guru, he's no little away there in the temple. So you please go to him and offer him your donation. So he went there and then there was some person sitting on the bank of Ganga. He said, he's your disciple, and that you would accept a donation. He said, who? The rascal? No, I don't want anything. No. Give it to him. So he said, all right, okay. So he said, no. Your guru says that you have to take it. No, he doesn't want it. So he said, all right. So he took it, and then he got the idea. All right, now Guru Purnima festival is coming, so let's make a festival here. So then he got the money, and then he built a pandal, and he had everything in like big fashion. So then now devotees are coming for Guru Purnima, right? So they come because it's a jungle. There are no roads. Everybody comes by Ganga. So then as they come, they see there's a pandal. So then they got stopped there, right? No, they started to get into kirtan and they didn't go to the temple. Now Gauridas Pandit, he is preparing and he is busy. He's alone, so he's cooking only, and he's cooking everything for the deities, and he has no time to watch anything else. Now Gauranitai, standing on the altar, now nobody there, and then they hear kirtan. So then, what is this, why we are here, there's kirtan going on, nobody here. So they just sneaked out, and then they ran, they're into the kirtan. And so they were dancing there, Then Gauridas Pandit, he finishes his cooking. And he comes for the offering, comes to the plate, puts it there. Where are they? And then he lists, kirtan, they must be there. So he goes with a stick. And then he runs. And then he's running. And then he saw, them dancing with the devotees there. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he saw Gauridas Pandit. He got so scared. Then he actually got, he jumped into the heart of Hridayananda, his disciple. Then Gauridas Pandit, he sees that. He drops the stick and he just runs and embraces Hridayananda. And at that moment he names him, his name is Hridaya Chaitanya. Because one who has Lord in his heart. So and then after that then everything went very nicely. It was very nice Guru Purnima festival. Everybody celebrated. Of course, Gauranitai went again on the altar. But since then, they always close the altar. You only get darshan for a few seconds. It's always closed. They wait, time to time, when there are some people, they just show, 5-10 seconds, close. You don't get, there's no always darshan. They're afraid that they will run away. So, like that, it's the Lord, how He reciprocates, how we deal, and that's the relationship.
So does that mean if I'm just concentrating on dancing nicely, that is the right move?
Yes. Okay. Yes. You may be concentrating on the darshan and dance. You may just be concentrating on the dancing and then just be focused kind of like that you want to please the Lord, and then you do your best just to dance, you are Krishna conscious. So you please the Lord. So you see, whatever it's the most appropriate in the time, place, and circumstance. But the deities are very personal, so then you relate to them also your personal way, how you want to please them. Because somebody, cannot dance, cannot be in the kirtan, he is cooking. No, so it's not that he is, just by not seeing the deities as such, that he will not advance. He is cooking for the deities, but he is not cooking just, no, okay, I don't need to see the deities, no, I just cook and I don't do anything else. No, he is with love and devotion, he cooks for the deities because he wants to please them. So as long as we have the desire to please the deities, anything we do will be right. But if we do it for to please ourselves, then it's wrong. And no matter how it looks like, we cannot really hide it from Krishna what is our real intention is. Yeah?
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, I think we will stop here. Then,
yeah, we have the next one.
We may have to do a little bit quicker. Let's see. Today is Tuesday, so on Thursday we continue.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Rama Rama